Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Believe God's Word When You Pray. You are studying Lesson 1, Believe God First, Then Pray. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Aren't you glad that Jesus is Lord and not some other dummy? I mean, aren't you glad He's running the church and not me? Aren't you glad He's running things and not you? Aren't you glad that Jesus don't depend on the Republicans or the Democrats to make heaven turn out right? Praise God forevermore. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You on this broadcast today, and we worship You. We give You all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we worship You, Lord. Now, pray for everybody in the sound of my voice. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, and fill our consciousness with the light of Your Word. We want to know more how to live and walk by faith. We want to know more how to please You and walk with You and praise You and bless You. We want to be ready when the trumpet blows. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. My. Have you had a good day? I know some of you watch this broadcast very early in the morning, and all of your days ahead of you. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to have a good day today, whether the devil likes it or not. Amen. And those of you that watching this maybe in the evening time, you say, well, boy, my day wasn't any good. Well, just hang around a few minutes, old partner. It ain't over with yet. We got some things to talk about on this broadcast today. I know you're going to get excited about it. I also know some of you are going to be a little bit embarrassed about it. I know it embarrassed me when I realized this from God's Word. And some of it's going to be a little humorous. You're going to get some joy out of this today. Sometimes we need to read the Bible and then laugh at ourselves and then turn around and laugh at the devil. I mean, the next time that he comes around and says, you ain't going to get your healing this time, just start in on him. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. And stand there and laugh until he says, what are you laughing about? Yet realize he is a creature of pride. He's the author of pride. He invented it, and he can't stand it. I don't care whether you feel like laughing or not. I mean, your old sore toe may be hurting so bad. Just say, ha, ha, ha. And he's going to say, what are you laughing at? You say, I'm laughing at you, stupid. Me? Yeah, I'm laughing at you. You standing there telling me I'm not going to get my healing. I don't have to get my healing. Jesus got it for me. It's bought and paid for. It is mine. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe I'm healed, you just hide and watch, sucker, because it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You'll have more fun than you ever had in your life. We've been talking about prayer. We talked about a number of things concerning prayer that changes things. The prayer of faith. We talked about several days last week about the prayer requests that the Apostle Paul asked different people in different churches to pray. And we talked about united prayer. I want to go back now and bring that united prayer and praying for the ministry, praying for preachers of the gospel. Congregations are responsible for praying for preachers. And if you're sitting around saying, well, you know, Brother Copeland, dear God, our preacher don't ever preach nothing but that, this or that, or that don't, all you're telling me is you don't ever pray for the fella. All you're telling me is that there's nobody in that congregation that's praying. And even if you are, there's a whole lot of you praying things that are amiss, and it doesn't do anything.
Now, let me point out again to you, because this is going to affect and come in on into an area that I want to deal with specifically today in your own personal prayer life. The Apostle Paul said in a letter that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in the 3rd chapter, the 2nd letter, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified," or in other words, that the anointing be on it. You can get up there and spout a lot of things, read a bunch of Bible scriptures, and still not have any anointing on it. But if the congregation begins to pray, "God, fill this man's mouth, fill his mouth with your word and your anointing," this same thing can happen in a family. You can bring this same principle into a family and get it so warped and so bent out of shape that all the prayers that you're praying for your husband, all the prayers you're praying for your wife, all the prayers you're praying for your children are not prayers at all. They're exercises in the rehearsal of problems. They're exercises in mounds and mountains of doubt and unbelief. Let me show you what I mean. You get caught up like this. "Oh God, please change my wife. Brother, you're not responsible for the changing of your wife. Oh, Brother Copeland, you just don't know how she treats me." No, I don't, and I really don't care nothing about hearing it. I said one day, I was standing out in the hall, Gloria said something in there to me, but wasn't ugly or anything. I was already ugly. I already had a bad attitude. I was already out of shape when she said it. And when she said that, I just said to myself, I said, what does she care anyway? She don't care nothing about me. And the Lord just, He almost knocked me down in the hall in there that day. He said, "What difference does that make?" I said, "What?" He said, "What difference does that make? Ain't none of your business what other people care about you." I thought, "What is it?" He said, "It is your business how you care about her." He said, "I'll deal with her about how she cares about you and other people, but that ain't none of your business." Boy, I'm telling you, it jerked all the slack out of my string. I thought, "Dear Lord, boy, I see something here. It's my business to see that I act in love. It's my business to pray where my love life is concerned. It's my business about how I treat her and hold her up before God and how I pray for her. It's my business how I treat that pastor, not how that pastor treats me." Are you listening? Now, it is my business as a member of that congregation to hold him up for his mouth or her mouth to be filled with the anointing of the living God and the power of God come on this place, because it's the word that'll change that church. "Oh, God, I wish you'd do something about that old big mouth sister that lives over there." Oh, shut up. That's the kindest thing I know to say to you, because you're doing the same thing you're trying to get big mouth to quit doing. Are you listening to me? Now, this will foul up your prayers because it's an open door to strife. And where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. All right, now, let me take this on down. The word is the principal thing. The word and the name of Jesus is where the power lies. It's God confirming his word with signs following that brings the power of God into display and manifestation. So that's where the prayer is. "Oh God, reveal your word to my wife. Give her peace in her heart. Reveal yourself to her. Reveal yourself to my children. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to my pastor and to this church." Brother, that's where the answer lies. Not, "Oh God, help them treat me better." You see, that if the word is revealed, if the word comes alive, if the word takes first place, if the name of Jesus is held up in honor properly, man, we'll have God in this thing, and you get God in it, and woo, it goes to changing everybody and everything. Amen. Now, let's go back here again. Now, I want to read what he said for them to pray. He said, "Pray for us." Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. again. Boy, I did that last week, all week long. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That we be delivered, and we have a tendency to major on the wicked men. Boy, those wicked sinners out there coming against the church. We don't have near as much trouble with the sinners coming against the church as we do the Christian people coming against the church. I got a letter from a group of guys that gathered up to come against the government because Christian people, you know, are being mistreated or something. Are you kidding? There ain't no way to stop that until the rapture comes, brother. I mean, that goes with the territory. Amen. And I got to looking at this group of guys, and I never had any trouble with anybody else. The guys that were having the meeting is the one in times past that I've had most of my trouble with. And I thought, this is unreasonableness comes from religion. Unreasonableness comes from getting caught up in religious ideas, in religious thoughts, and selfishness inside religion. And you get segregated from the world and you stop reaching out doing the works of God according to His direction and doing what He's asked you to do, and you begin to go do what you see that He ought to have done for Him. And you get locked up in this thing and all kinds of religious practices begin, and some of them are so unreasonable. Like one guy said, I want to tell you, if it don't make sense and the government did it, there's money behind it. Well, now when you get over into religious ideas, a whole lot of it comes from the same source. It don't make sense. Religion and money's behind it. And you get all kinds of weird ideas. Now let me bring that then right down to a personal level. You can get over into forms of praying and get so hung up on the form of it that it gets to a place you don't even pay any attention to what you're saying. I remember when I was a little boy, I was raised in a particular church, and good people, good church, preached the new birth, but very little other than that. And when you turned in a prayer request, they just said, well, we want to remember Brother so-and-so. I don't know when we was ever going to remember him. And what good does it do to remember them? No, I want you to pray for me, not remember me. And like I said earlier, this a lot of times I hope some churches don't get my prayer request because they'll go to God and tell God I'm going to die. Oh, God, he's going to die if you don't intervene. Oh, let's pray for Brother Copeland because he's dying. And then call everybody in town and tell them, you know what, I found out Brother Copeland dying. I don't need you agreeing with that. Amen. Now, listen to this carefully. When a man came, I was just a little boy one time. Tell you, boy, you can pick this stuff up at an early age. I'm just a little, just a little ratty kid running around the church there. And this preacher came in, and I was absolutely shocked, so was everybody else. When he did it, you heard groans go out over the congregation. Guess what he did? He kneeled on one knee while he prayed. Oh, my God. What are they going to say? You know, at headquarters. And prayed. I'd never seen a preacher kneel when he prayed in my life. And the first thought I had, I looked around that pew and I saw him kneeling up there. And I thought, you know, he ain't going to get but half that answered because he's not kneeling on but one knee. I mean, 9 years old, and I caught on to that. You know what I mean? I never saw but one person kneel down on their knee and pray but him, and I immediately decided he wasn't going to get but half of his prayer answered. I'm so form-oriented, and I'm not but 8 or 9 years old. Now, Jesus prayed in the New Testament. He prayed standing up. He prayed kneeling down. He prayed and preached seated. He prayed laying on his face. He prayed looking up into heaven. And he prayed with his eyes open. Praise God. Paul bowed his knee. All of that has little to nothing to do with whether or not God answers prayer. Are you listening to me? Now, we get so hung up on forms of prayer, and we get so religiously unreasonable. I'll tell you something that's a religious unreasonableness. Is somebody from West Texas, like me, praying in some kind of Elizabethan English? Now, that's about as unreasonable as you can get. Can you imagine some country hick like me standing up and saying, "Oh, durst thou not knowest thou that I abidest in a very problem situation now? Wouldest thou not give you go?" That's all that's worth. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes, amen. And come up to some long mouth, perpendicular kind of talk instead of being real about it. And reality is that Christianity is real, not Christianism, Christianity. Prayer is real. Prayer is communication with God. You ought to talk to God. You ought to be straight with Him sometime. And talk with Him straight. And give Him an opportunity to talk to you and impress you and cause certain convictions inside your spirit to know how He thinks about things and go to His Word. Not just one translation of that of some kind or other, dear me, but go to His Word and visit with God about it. I heard a man say on tape one time, he said, "I was laying flat on my face in the middle of the floor in a hotel room in Chicago, and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying." And he said, "Suddenly I stopped and said, 'Look at this. Here lies a fool that knows nothing, doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything.'" Let that sink in on you a little bit. Here lies a fool that knows nothing, doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. Now you see how religiously warped we've turned to form? Now the Apostle Paul said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power therein, not giving God's power or no reality. He said, turn away from that. When you turn away from something or some situation because of God's Word, then you can readily identify whatever that is as temptation. There is a temptation that comes from hell itself to get so hung up in religious form and so involved in it that you talk words, sing songs, do things that don't even make sense, have absolutely no sensibleness about them at all. You wouldn't do it anywhere else but church. But yet you're so involved in it, you don't hear what you sang, you don't hear what you said. Just yab, 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 yab. For instance, and I realize here I'm going to get on some of his toes, but that's the name of the game. God gets on me, so I turn around and get on you. I mean, that's the way it is. I have to bring this up because God's been dealing with me about it in my spirit. And I said, "Lord, what if I've hurt somebody's feelings over this?" He said, "Well, you know, their toes are sticking out there. Get on them." He said, "I'll heal them." So now listen to this. And I'm saying it, I have to tell you, I had to deal with me about this first, so here it comes. How would you feel if, say, you were secretary for the mayor, and somebody had a request for the mayor, and they came in and talked to you and said, I need an appointment with the mayor." "Well, what's it about?" "Well, I need to talk to him about some of the streets out in my neighborhood out there, because we've got some broken sewer lines, and I've been trying to get some results out of this." And the mayor said in his speech, and he said in this meeting, sending someone, and they said, "Well, that's valid. I'll let you come in there. I'll make an appointment." And you come at the time of the appointment. Everything's well in order. You have a right to be in the mayor's office. The mayor says, "Yeah, send them in here. That's fine. I'll talk to them about that." And you walk in there that morning, and here was your process of this request that you're going to put before the mayor, the highest office in the city. "Oh, good morning, Mr. Mayor. I have a Mr. Mayor word for you, Mr. Mayor. I need, Mr. Mayor, something, Mr. Mayor, from you, Mr. Mayor. Oh, Mr. Mayor, could you possibly, Mr. Mayor, hear my Mr. Mayor account, Mr. Mayor, of what?" And then you fall down in the floor and went to kick in the back of his desk. rolling around. Oh, go down our streets or something. What in the world do you think he would think? He'd stand up and look over his desk, and he'd say, the guy called me Mr. Mayor 38 times in two sentences. And listen to this mess. He's wallowing around. Who let this idiot in my office? That's the way you do God. Oh, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Lord, oh, Lord, yes, Lord, oh, Lord. You don't talk to anybody else that way. Why don't you get real with him? Now, you can be formal and lay a petition and a supplication in humility before God without becoming foolish in the form of it. You understand what I mean by that? You can be humble. You can come in a formal, but to have a formal prayer, maybe something that you've written out, a formal petition and supplication based on scriptures from the Bible, and still do it without all this religious hoorah and hootenanny that'll steal your faith to the point where you get to the point you actually think you're not getting through to God unless you have some sort of emotional explosion or some sort of 14 rows of goosebumps, or you can't get it except over there in that corner of the church. And oh, so-and-so's tear stains is on that bench. Don't dare paint it. Dear God. Oh, brother, don't we know that God baptizes more people after midnight in the Holy Ghost than it does any other time? Well, at midnight when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, wonder what time it was in Sydney. Dear God. No, what I'm talking to you about is we need to base this thing on God's Word, not in some form, not in some idea. There are times that I go to God that I am formal about it. I've spent the time to lay out a petition before Him. I have God's Word on it. And it's very similar to what I would that mayor, particularly if that mayor was my father. But still, there is an honor to the fact that he's mayor. There is an honor to the fact that he's the head officer of the city. There is an honor to God. And I call him sir, and I respect him, and I stand before him sometimes in great awe. And there's other times I'm kidding around with him because there's things that dropped in my heart that is Abba, Father, a closeness and the intimacy of my daddy. Yet he's my father, and he's the chief executive officer of the universe. Glory be to God. I'll tell you something else he is. And this is where a real failure has occurred in prayer. I don't know, man. You know, I may really rattle you with this statement, but nevertheless, it happens to be a Bible truth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your blood brother. I mean, he's covenanted to you in his own blood and handed you the cup and said, this is the New Testament. This is the new covenant in my blood. You drink it. And the Bible said he's not ashamed to call you brother. Oh, I wouldn't want to call Jesus brother. Well, you're not doing him honor then if you don't call him your brother. I mean, oh, I just call him Lord. That's wonderful. He is Lord. Thank God for it. But get rid of that fear and say, I just want to praise you and thank you that you're my big brother and you go before me and you help me and you're not ashamed to call me your brother. I'm not ashamed to call you my Lord and my brother and my deliverer. But there's times, I'm telling you, I've had him say some things to me that crack me up, man. I mean, I laugh. It's some. I got so tickled in men's meeting one time. I was supposed to speak, and they had about 28 testimonies before I got up there. And all of them kept saying, oh, yes, God is my business partner. And the next one come along and said, God is my business partner. And I'm sitting there listening to that. And after about the third or the fourth one of them got up there, this one fella got up there and strutted up on the platform and said, oh, yes, amen, God is my business partner. And the Spirit of God spoke up. I knew it as Jesus when he said it. He said, yeah, I'm partner all right, but I ain't got checking privileges with none of them. I mean, I got tickled. And I didn't want to just burst out laughing. I didn't want them to think I was laughing. I was laughing what the Lord said. I've had him say things like that that just tickle me all over. There's also time he said some things that didn't tickle me all that much. When he jerked the very slack out of me and said, I want you to sit down there and shut up and don't you say another word until you can come to a place of faith instead of all this groaning, moaning unbelief you've been coming up with. That's Father talking. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The reality of who we are in Christ Jesus is the fact that He's our blessed partner. He's our blessed Father. He's the blessed King. He is Lord. And thank God He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And we can praise Him and worship Him and fellowship with Him and enjoy His company, enjoy His presence and praise Him and just sometimes just have a kick old throwback hallelujah party, praise God, just because He's King and He's Lord. Father, I pray for this television audience today. I pray for them to be filled with the power of the Word of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn and then learn and pray and learn and remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.